Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You praise God. This is a good time, isn't it, Gloria?
It is.
I remember on this Christmas Eve, you know, Christmas Eve was just huge in our house.
I'm telling you, your mother was serious.
Oh, my mama was Christmas. She was Christmas, Christmas. Now, here was the thing. My birthday being December the 6th. So she would start on my birthday. And she'd go ahead and put the Christmas tree up. Well, Gloria, for 20 days, I was like this. And presents would start showing up under that tree. I'm telling you, the anticipation was almost unbearable by the time it got Christmas Eve. And I remember as just a young kid, they were talking about, well, maybe we should not do Christmas Eve anymore. Maybe we should wait till Christmas morning. Wait another day. I'm not going to. I can't. I can't stand it. And they all laughed.
I can imagine.
They all laughed and said, okay, we'll stay with Christmas Eve. And we opened our presents. And oh, it was such a time. And I was thinking here just before we turned the cameras on, the hope. See, hope is in the future. We're going to be talking about the simplicity of faith today. But hope and faith are two different things. And if you get hope mixed up with faith, your faith won't work.
Yeah.
But that hope is so important. It's an expectancy. Glory to God. I'm telling you, by the time it got to be Christmas Eve, I could hardly stand it. And one of the most dangerous things in my life would be to sneak in there and look at those presents beforehand. My mama, no, you don't be doing that.
You couldn't shake them or anything, huh?
Oh, yeah, you mess with them, but the skin on that thing better not be broken anywhere. Father, thank you for this time today with our partners and with our radio and television audience. We praise you and thank you for this wonderful, marvelous time of year. And we're reaching out to you by faith today.
Bless
the revelation from heaven about these days and times of faith in which we live. And we receive it and thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's open our Bibles once again in our many, many studies of faith and so forth. Mark chapter 11, this wonderful, this wonderful teaching that Jesus did in the 11th chapter of Mark concerning faith. Beginning with the 22nd verse, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, how do you have faith in God? Well, first thing you do is decide. Well, praise God, I have faith in God. Okay, then say it. I have faith in God. I take faith in God. Now, the cross-reference says the faith of God. So, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're a new creature. Anyone in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new and all things are of God. Now, that new creature has within it the faith of God, because it was the faith of God. The faith is a spiritual force. So when you made that decision in your heart and mind to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, faith came. And that faith was the spiritual force that did the recreation action in your spirit person, the real you. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. The spirit you is just like God. And you have God's faith. You have God's righteousness. You have all of God inside you.
You're now, born of God.
Huh? Yeah.
Now you're born of God.
You're born of God. He's your very own father. You're his very own child. Praise and his God. Faith is in there. So don't ever say again, well, I just know I don't have any faith. You might say, well, my faith is not working like it should. But no, you have faith. If you know Jesus as Lord, you have faith. So you just say it, I have faith in God.
Amen.
For whosoever, well, see, this will work for anybody. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, the inner man, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now then, let's center up here for a moment on this 24th verse. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, Gloria, that's about as simple as
that is simple, easy to understand. Everybody can do it.
Everybody can do that.
And it works.
Now, let's go over to the book of Hebrews, Gloria. In this 11th chapter here, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. As you read through this 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews and all the things that these mighty, this is the hall of fame of faith, all of these great things that occurred by faith. Faith is a spiritual force. Spiritual forces are the most powerful, the strongest forces that exist. Love, hate, faith, fear, blessing, cursing. Mm-hmm. These are the real forces. Now you come down under that, then you've got mental forces. Well, there's some strength there, but nothing like spiritual forces. Then you come down the next step, the lowest step, is physical strength. Well, that's the least of the three. Faith is not a physical force, so you don't feel it physically. Faith is not a mental force. It's not of the mind. Now, there are different religions and so forth believe it is, but that's not Bible. That's not based on something. That's based on something else, not the Bible. God is a spirit. You know anybody any stronger than him? No, you don't.
No.
He is a spirit. We are spirit beings like him. Therefore, we can do in the spirit what he says do in and by the Spirit. Now, notice this. Now, faith is the substance, spiritual substance, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's just stop right here. Well, Gloria, looks like there's nothing left to do except just hope and pray. Well, you're wasting your time.
Hoping and praying.
Just a hoping and a praying. Because there's no substance there to bring what you hope for into the now. Notice, now faith is. Faith is always now. God is always now. He's never in the past tense. He's always now. Always. He's the now God. Amen.
Amen.
So let's think more about this, because this is where prayers get messed up. This is the reason people pray and 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 don't receive what they're praying for, and they just decide there's no use in praying. Well, there's not any use in praying if that's what you're going to do. Prayer doesn't make faith work, Gloria. Faith makes prayer work.
That's right.
So faith brings the thing that needs to come from the spirit unseen realm into this natural seen realm. Faith makes that transfer.
Faith receives, the Bible says.
That's it. It receives. Now, it takes it. Mm-hmm. So, let's say that faith is now. and I believe now. Faith is now, and I believe now. Now, let's go back to Mark 11 and let's see that in what we were reading here. Look at Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. Isn't that now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you pray, believe. Brother Copeland, it can't be that simple. Well, it is. Now, here's the problem. We have been trained, educated all of our lives in the natural world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not natural knowledge. This is supernatural knowledge. This is the way things work in the supernatural realm. And if you try to take the way things work in the natural realm and apply them to the supernatural realm, it keeps you in the natural realm. So it doesn't reach out there. It doesn't take anything out of the unseen world and bring it in. All you have is just what you can see and the natural progression of that. Well, that's fine until you get some kind of sickness or something that's killing you and nobody's got any answer for it in the natural world. Now you're in trouble. And let me say this to you. If you wait until you need faith to build and get faith,
well, in most cases, you only knew it, you need it all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you one thing. I believe this will help people. I was thinking about this while I was still in the dressing room today. Let's use this as an example of that. You get a report that there's a very dangerous cancer in your body, and this thing is already, by the time you found out about it, it is already in such a place to where you better really get with the program here. Here's the problem. That cancer was growing in your body from 8 to 10 years before you found out about it. Now, see what a head start the devil and that satanic oppressing disease has on you?
Yeah.
So what's the answer to that? Hey, get strong now. Stay built up now. Feed on the Word of God. Feed your faith. Faith, Romans 10:17.
Use your faith when you're well.
Oh, yes. I've heard you preach that so many times. Every time I think about that, I just see your face with that statement. Hey, you believe for your health and your healing while you're well and strong. It's so much easier. And that's when you build and that's when you train. You don't just kind of Cadillac along and you just get blindsided by something. You're just scrambling.
That's right. Same thing's true with prosperity. Don't wait till you're bankrupt to believe God for your prosperity.
I'm glad you brought that up because let me tell you, the reason I talk about healing is because of the dire circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
But now exactly the same laws, exactly the same rules of faith work in the financial realm. And
same scriptures will work.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
But then
there are scriptures that are definitely financial and there are scriptures that are definitely healing.
They're all good.
Now, thank you, Lord. Let's talk about hope. In Titus chapter 2, if you want to turn over there. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, little Titus, where are you, little Titus? There you are. Titus chapter 2 and the 13th verse. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you notice that's in the future. In fact, that is a point in the future that we don't know what it is yet. We don't know when that's going to happen, but we know it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, where's my faith? My faith is, I know that's going to happen, and when it does, I'm going to be standing there looking
ready.
Him right
I'll
in the face.
Ready.
Glory to God.
Yes.
So you see, I have a strong expectancy of that.
Yes, amen.
Now then, let's look over here at Philippians, and we'll look in the first chapter there. Verse 19 of the first chapter. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. Now, it's kind of amazing when you look that up in the Greek text.
Yeah.
The two Greek words are almost the same, but both of them mean, I mean, just a white hot expectation. I'm expecting this. I'm telling you, this is going to come to pass just as sure as, I mean, it. You understand? This is coming to pass. This is coming to pass.
There's
this.
Only one source for that, and that's what's written right here.
Yes, yes. It's in the future, but daughter, I'm expecting this.
But if it's here, it's as good as done, if you'll take it.
Yeah. Quit getting ahead of me, will you?
Well, I'm going to go home if you don't let me preach.
We are flowing right down the same channel.
That's why we get along.
So now, see, he's hoping something here that's actually not written. Over here on the blessed hope, that's written. Oh, we know that's coming to pass. But now he has based this on other scriptures that, well, let's go back now in the healing realm. Let's look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17. Matthew 8:17. When evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now my cross-reference says Isaiah chapter 53. Okay, let's go back over here to Isaiah chapter 53. And if I was feeding on these the way I do at home, see all these tabs on top of my Bible, all of those are the healing scriptures. I can just go back over here to the book of Genesis and just start flowing. Just one healing scripture right after another. Just one right after another. What am I doing? I'm feeding my spirit. I'm getting these into my consciousness where they're there all the time. They abide there all the time. And I mean, at the slightest sign of anything, that these things just start jumping out of my mouth.
That's good.
So, there's Isaiah. So, we want to come over here to the 53rd chapter and notice what he says. In verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, the cross-reference in many King James Bibles will say, he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. The word translated sorrow is translated pain. It's also translated disease. So, the literal Hebrew says, he has borne our sicknesses and carried our diseases and pain. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are. Say it. With his stripes,
we are healed.
Now, notice that is not future. That's now.
We are healed.
With his stripes, we are healed. So that's faith, not hope. Mm-hmm. Well, Brother Carl, I know I'm going to be healed someday. Now, you just took it out of faith and put it over in hope.
That's right.
And without faith, you can't ever get that.
Faith is the substance.
Oh, yeah.
Of things hoped
yeah,
for.
Until,
hoped for.
And now, that expectancy, yeah. Oh, boy, I tell you, that's strong, but it doesn't have substance.
That's right.
It doesn't have the substance that it takes.
In another way to say that, faith is the manifestation.
Good.
Manifestation yeah. is the substance yeah. happening.
The hope is a strong blueprint for the faith. But until you get it over in here, you don't have that spiritual force that changes the disease to health. It takes power to blow that cancer out of there. It takes power to change your spine. It takes power to put a stop to that thing. And particularly when you're dealing with something that takes a period of time for it to come to pass. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm ahead of myself, but I want to put this in here right now. Well, I need a miracle immediately. That's wonderful, and they do occur, but they don't occur all the time. Those are manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, gifts of healings, working of miracles, special faith, and so forth. But they're as God wills, but this works 100% of the time, all the time.
If it's worked.
Yeah. But the laws, see, that govern this are accurate. They're unchangeable. They are the laws of faith, Romans 3:27. So, but in working these laws, well, I'm telling you what, you have to be diligent at it. You have to feed your spirit. See, if I have a goal here and I'm working physically and I have a goal with this physical body and I'm doing these things, I can't sit here and just dream about the barbells in there in the room. I've got to go in there and do the things that it takes. And it takes time.
That's right.
Well, these are your spiritual barbells. Merry Christmas, everybody. Praise God. Merry Christmas, Gloria.
Merry Christmas.
I
Where's
love
my
you,
present?
Darling. Merry Christmas.
You got me a present?
I'm here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's all I need.
Amen. Father, we thank you for today. Such a Praise wonderful God. Time celebrating our life in the Spirit and what Jesus has come and what He has done and what He has brought the human being is beyond anything we can even ask or think or imagine.
Praise you,
but
Jesus.
Praise God, we're learning more and more and
Thank
more
you, Lord.
Every day.
Hallelujah.
And we pray for our audience today. And today, sir, we open our hearts and minds to receive revelation from heaven. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Merry Christmas, everybody. You know, going into this new year and I don't care what time of year it is, it's important. But right now, looking at all the things that are around us and all, I don't care what part of the world you live in. If you know what faith is, and if you know where it comes from, and if you know how it operates, you've arrived at something. You may be at the first floor,
yeah.
but you're in the building. You're not standing out there wondering, what in the world am I going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have faith in
yes,
God.
Yes, amen.
And Mark 11:22, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Well, what about my finances? Have faith in God. What about my children? Have faith in God. Well, what about the business? Have faith
Amen.
In God. Oh, Brother Copeland, what about the government? Have faith in God. That's the answer to the question. I don't care what it is. Have faith in God. Okay. I'll have faith in God. No, you're already one step behind. It didn't say, some of these days I'll have faith in God.
Yeah.
He said, have it. Oh, okay. Okay, I have it. Okay, you're on the first step. Praise God. Amen. But see, you see what I mean? Once you know, the more you know about this, you get to where you use it every day, all the time, in and out, every situation that where there is not anything the devil can pull on you and catch you wondering what to do or what am I going to do now. I mean, some drastic situation just blindsides you, then the Word of God and faith just starts coming out your mouth before your mind ever has a chance to do one thing or the other. It starts coming out of your spirit being.
One thing it does is you're not going to be in fear and faith at the same time. So if you're in faith, you don't have to be in fear.
That's right.
And some people live in the fear of this.
Well,
naturally,
you know. Now that's good, because here's the difference between that and the way you and I've lived for the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
We don't spend our time being afraid.
No, we don't.
Now, if you spend your time being afraid, I'm not afraid. Yeah, you are. You're worrying. Oh, well, you got things you have to worry about. Well, that's fear. You're living in fear. You're thinking fear. What's happening? It is highly developed in your life. Now, here's one thing. Please make note of this. Get faith words in your mouth and say them all the time, over and over and over, until your heart, your spirit man, hears those words. And once they register on your heart, they'll change your life. If you let fear words register on your life, on your heart, then all the time you're drawing the very things you're worrying and fearing about. Your spirit is seeing to it that they come to pass. And then this may sound a little bit funny, but the more you learn about it, the more you know about it. Well, that's it. Yeah, but the more you understand about it, rather. The more you learn, the more you know. Well, that's,
you're sharp.
That's brilliant. So, something registers on your spirit. Well, let me give you an illustration of this. You go out and dig a hole in the ground and just stick a post there. It's not a seed. It's not a plant. But the ground starts trying to make it grow. So it'll rot the bottom off of it. So you got to change the post after a few years. The ground don't care what you put in it. It was created by God to make it grow. Your spirit being, your heart man, whatever you put in there, it tries to make it grow. And once it ever registers on it, it's something not just passing through, and it registers on it, then it just starts making it grow. Now, how does it do it? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
That's right.
And what comes out of there in abundance is what grows.
That's right.
Well, I just don't understand how come nothing ever works out for me. You know, I've been trying to do this, and I've been working on this, and then you start talking about 10 years ago, and every time you're talking to somebody, well, you know, it's just like this. How many times have you rehearsed that same old, worn-out story? Well, it's registered on your heart, and it's still trying to reproduce it over and over and over again.
That's true.
Now, if we change that, and you start doing what we're going to be talking about today, it'll register on your heart. And when it does, now, there you'll begin to tell it, but you don't look for or wait for that moment. You just keep feeding it in there. You just keep feeding it in there, because it will happen spiritually before you're aware of it mentally or any other way. But it will happen. It's automatic, because that's the way the system made. And you start feeding God's words in there, and these words are full of faith.
It's called, the term is renewing your mind
there
to
you
the
go.
Word of God.
Yeah. And your spirit gets hold of it, and then your mind will catch up with it. Anyway, Mark 11:22, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now I want you to notice something here. The words in my King James Bible, them, in the 24th verse, two times, are italicized. They're in italics. That means that the translators put them in there. They're not in the Greek text. Then they put them in there to, you know, help you maybe understand. So look at this. Now, this is the word. These are the words of Jesus. You know, you really have to grasp that this is Jesus speaking. That means this is right. Whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have. Believe that you receive, and you shall have. Now that's now. Believe that you receive, and you shall have. All right. In Hebrews 11:1, we looked at that yesterday. Let's look at it again today. In the 11th chapter. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the evidence of things you can't see with your physical eye. Now hope has no substance. Now it's very important. Don't misunderstand me. But if you're using hope without faith, hope is always in the future, and the force of faith that causes it to bring it into the now is not being applied.
That's right.
Now, Jesus used the term mountain. So think about it. If faith is going to move that mountain, and you're saying that mountain's going to move one of these days, you haven't released any faith yet. Oh, I sure hope that mountain moves. I got to move that mountain. I got to move this pain. This pain's got to leave. This thing is, boy, I'm telling you, this thing's killing me. No, shut up. Don't be saying that.
That's right.
No. Uh-uh. Now, we're dealing with real life here, folks. So now stay with me here, and you'll see this. It's so simple. In fact, that's what we're talking about, that the simplicity of faith. Don't complicate the thing. It is so simple. Like Charles Capp said, you have to have help to misunderstand this. It is so simple, praise God. So, now then, now faith, well, I'm sitting here, and let's look at that again. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance. Now faith.
Substance, the evidence.
Now I'm talking about faith. What kind of faith? I'm talking about now faith. Now faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've changed it over to an adjective.
If it's not now, it's not faith.
So I'm describing faith. So I'm calling it, my faith is now faith. I'm not right here. Help me now. I'm not talking about a moment in time now. I'm describing faith. Now faith.
That's good.
My faith is a now faith. Now faith is the substance.
That's right. That's good.
Faith that's now is substance. I'm going to say it again. Faith that's now. Now faith is the substance of what you've been hoping for. Now, hope is always in the future. But I want to stay more today in the now. I don't know, maybe tomorrow we can talk about the future part of it more. But stay in this now. Let's go back over here. Well, no, the Lord changed me a little bit. In the first chapter of the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul said, I know this is turned to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ according to my earnest expectation and hope. Well, if you look up the word hope there, it's a white-hot, super-intensive expectation. But it hadn't happened yet.
Strong expectation.
Now, that expectation, I don't care how hard and how big and how strong it is, it's going to have faith because it comes to pass.
That's right.
So you got to get it out of the going to happen one of these days to it's mine now.
That's right.
So how do we do that? All right. Let's go back over here now where we were in Mark's gospel. And let's look at that again. Mark 11. Take the time to just read this over and over and over and over and over and over thousands of times. Say it, quote it thousands of times, particularly if you're battling something. I'll tell you, last night I lay right there in the bed and I believe I received it. And I, this is the situation that I'm victorious over right now.
Amen.
And I don't know where in there I went to sleep. And I just, I just went to sleep. And somewhere in there, praise God, that pain that I was battling, that thing quit and gone. And I'm about to tell you, I believe the trigger, the Lord showed me a trigger point last night.
Praise God.
So what am I talking about? Whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have. What do you desire? I mean, hey, Jesus got right down to where we live when he said...
Or you could say, what do you want to happen?
Yeah.
What do you want to happen?
And you immediately begin to categorize them. What's got to happen right now and then down the line. But, well, I don't, Brother Copeland, I mean, you know, what gives me any... How could I possibly, what gives me any hope that that'll come to pass? I desire that, yeah. Let's say I desire a pain-free body. The healing scriptures, that's where you build your hope. You go to the healing scriptures and you feed on them and you read them and talk about them and feed on them.
Where you build your faith.
And feed on them and feed on them and read those scriptures and listen to your CDs. I mean, go back and get these broadcasts and listen to them over and over and over and over and over. Gloria and I go to bed every night with the Word of God playing. I mean, Brother Hagin teaches us and preaches to us. We listen to him all the time.
For a lot of years.
And we are really prosperous. We are really strong,
healthy.
Praise the Lord,
yeah.
And getting stronger every day. Well, let me put it this way, Gloria. Jesus just suddenly appeared right there. You could just see him. It wouldn't be any more real than reading this because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And so he won't say one thing different today than what he did back there when he spoke this on the earth. But he just stopped. He disappeared right there. And he said, Kenneth, what do you desire? Oh, Jesus. Sir, I desire a pain-free Okay. Believe, you receive. Really? Okay. Believe, you receive.
Take it.
Really, Jesus? Believe, you receive. Okay, Jesus, I believe I receive a pain-free body. Okay, you shall have.
You took it. You took a pain-free body.
Mm-hmm. And then he said, okay, you shall have. Well, now, Gloria, when Jesus Christ of Nazareth says, okay, you shall have, what's my next response? Glory to God, I've got that.
That's right.
I have it.
Praise God.
Well, I don't see it. Well, I don't either, but I have it. Now, see, all of a sudden I'm talking faith. And man, if you haven't crossed over from that natural thing, it just
you
doesn't make...
You have to cross from hope to faith.
You just said it.
You hope to be healed, but that doesn't have substance.
But my faith, my hope took on substance when I stepped across that line.
And you received it.
Jesus said, okay, you have. Now, isn't that what he said right there? Whatsoever thing you desire.
When you pray.
Well, I desire a pain-free body. Okay. There ain't no big deal. I bought and paid for that at Calvary.
That's right.
Okay. Believe that you receive. Okay, Jesus. Now, how do I do that? With my mouth. That's where faith takes hold. And every time you release faith, you build faith. You release faith, you build faith. You're saying the Word of God, and it comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. All right. I believe I receive it. Jesus said, okay, you shall have. Really, Jesus? Yeah. Well, if Jesus says, I shall have, then glory to God, I have it. Come on,
That's right. Hey,
the Son of God says, you shall have. All right, it's mine. Whoa, ain't no devil in hell big enough to kick this out of my life. No, the Son of the living God said, I shall have it, and so I shall have it. Glory to God, I have it right now. And the stronger it gets, the bigger it gets. And it's just like you were, just like today on Christmas Day, and you were looking for it, and you're looking for it, and Christmas Day came, and glory to God, Hallelujah. You know, but Christmas can come before Christmas gets here.
Praise God.
Because you get so full of faith that when you do, this is a good illustration. You're believing for something at Christmas back here in July, but you really need it now. But it gets so real. I'm hoping for it Christmas. No, that's mine. I mean, that is mine. The Son of God said, I believe I receive, I shall have. And I have it. I have. You see it? No, I don't see it, but I have it. Glory, I said, I have it in the name of, and I got all these scriptures. Glory to God, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And there's none of them in the future. It says, by His stripes you were, by His stripes you are, by His stripes you were. That means it is now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Nowhere in there it says, I'm going to heal you. All of our healing, all of our miracle deliverance and healing, all of our financial promises are in the past. He's already done it.
Praise God.
There's nothing in the future except the blessed hope. That's sitting out there in the future. He's coming. Hey, and I'm ready for that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But my now faith is in operation.
Amen.
Now I just keep feeding that now faith. Keep feeding on those healing scriptures. Just keep feeding on those prosperity scriptures. And my now faith is in operation.
Praise
my now
God.
Faith
Your
is
now
in my
faith.
Mouth. Now. Now.
Glory to God.
My dad used to say, when he really wanted to get my attention, he'd say, Kenneth, I mean you do it now. K-N-O-W-E, now. When my daddy spelled now, K-N-O-W-E, that means while ago is way too late. It's on the move now. You better get yourself to moving.
That's right.
Well, when that K-N-O-W-E faith comes up in there, brother, it is now. Glory to God. It is now. It is now. All right. Now.
Okay. Now.
That thing kept irritating me. I got just time enough to get this in here. It just kept irritating me last night. And I thought, come on, Kenneth, what's the matter with you? Pain, in the name of Jesus, I cast you into the sea. I backed up a verse from Mark 11, 24 to 23. That's why Mark 11, 23 is in there. I spoke to that pain and told it to go get in the sea out of my sight. Glory to God. Well, where's the pain? Well, it's right. No, it's not right here. It's in the sea. Ah, the pain's in the sea. I have my healing. The pain is in the sea. I have my healing. Where's the pain? It's in the sea. What does that mean? It's sunk. I can't see it. I can't feel it. It's gone in Jesus.
You don't have it.
It wasn't long after that I was sound asleep.
On Monday and Tuesday of this week, my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, taught us on the simplicity of faith. And faith is simple, yet faith is very powerful. As a matter of fact, there's nothing in this world that faith in God, faith in His Word cannot fix. And that's why for the rest of this week, we're going to continue receiving insight, revelation from the Word of God right along these lines. So I want you to get your Bibles. I want you to join Brother Copeland as he teaches us to renew our mind to see God's image in you.
Father, we come before the Word tonight with expectant hearts. I pray in the name of Jesus that not one person in the sound of my voice will leave this building tonight or leave this broadcast online. Not one person will leave this place untouched by the power of the living God tonight. For we are going to see you, Jesus, from your word. People will hear and faith will come. And they'll release faith and healing will come. They'll release faith and salvation will come. All that's needed will come tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you in the name of Jesus, Father. Now, we've been talking about the fundamentals of faith. So once again, let's go to our golden text, which is Mark 11, 20. 2, 3, 4, and 5. Jesus said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall not doubt in his inner man, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father in heaven also, your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And we've been talking about the fundamentals of faith, the basic fundamentals that when you're watching the World Series, you're watching masters of the fundamentals. And I was thinking about that again, as I said yesterday, I first heard that from my grandson, Jeremy. And then I began thinking about it and talking about it and talking about it then in teaching on the fundamentals of faith. And the Lord brought this to my thinking. What are you watching when you watch the Little League World Series? You're watching the masters of the basics for that age group. Huh? Oh, yeah. It's the same principle all the way through.
great Olympic athletes. Basics. Just the basic fundamentals. It's the one. Eighteenth chapter of Proverbs says, "The power of death and life are in the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." It's the thing that you love. It's the thing that you put your effort in. It's the thing that you're spending most of your time thinking about. If that's what you're doing and that's what you're practicing, then that is what you're going to perfect. And you may be perfecting nothing but absolute foolishness. But you're good at it. Amen. But if you're going to live the life of faith, then you're going to have to practice it and practice it and practice. You're going to have to practice His presence. What do you mean by that? Practice the presence of God. Visit with Him all the time. Talk to Him. Think about Him. Just all the time. Visiting with Him all the time. Amen. When you head to town, talk to Him. That's the reason that the radio that's in your car can be a curse. Because you spend your time talking to that or talking back at it. And this is one of the reasons that it's, I won't go off into all the other, I can spend a lot of time at that. But you already know these things. If you are going to come to that place in faith, then you have to spend some time thinking about God, talking about Jesus, talking to Jesus all the time. They asked Smith Wigglesworth about his prayer life one time, the great apostle of faith. And they asked him how long he prayed. He said, I don't pray long extended times. He said, my prayers usually last, you know, sometimes 15, sometimes 20 minutes. Is that all? Well, yeah, but he said, I don't usually go over about 15, 20 minutes before I pray. So what he was saying to them, I'm in constant communication with the Lord all the time. Talk with Him all the time. Amen. You're praising God. You're practicing the fundamentals. Practicing the fundamentals of faith. You're thinking about it. Well, I know that the fundamentals of faith, what Jesus said, is I must believe in my heart. I must say with my mouth. And then we went into the second fundamental. Then I need to act on my faith, praise God, and so forth. But You don't just think about that when you're in meetings like this. No, you take these messages home with you. You take the CDs home with you. Download them on your iPad. Download them on your phone where you just recall them all the time. And go back through these messages. Go back through each one of us that have spoken in this convention. Well, you know, maybe not Jesse, but no, don't leave Jesse out. Amen. Maybe you better double up on Jesse. Oh, we pick on Jesse, and he doesn't deserve it. Well, yeah, he does too. But anyway, amen. No, it's where you spend your thought life. That's where you're going. That's where you're headed. And if you have a specific assignment, let's say you're not in the ministry and God has put a real job in front of you. You're headed into a situation, maybe in the military and you're doing, hey, You still practice faith. You still practice faith. You're going to practice, you practice your job just like I practice mine. You spend all your time thinking about faith. How is faith? When you meditate on the Word of God and you begin to meditate that 91st Psalm, you begin to meditate the healing scriptures, you begin to think, now that I'm healed, how does this affect what I'm doing? And no symptom has changed, but you found out by His stripes you were healed. So you begin to practice that. You're building this inner image. You're building that hope image. It's coming up where you can see yourself with it, where you don't see yourself in that old condition anymore. Amen. You see yourself up running again. Glory to God. You see yourself up going again every day just like you used to. Amen. And, isn't this wonderful? Glory to God. Now that I'm debt free, how does this change my life? What, and so forth. And you still owe a lot of money. No, you're changing in here. What? How? With the fundamentals. This is called the renewing of your mind. Now, I had to do this concerning, let me get down there with you. Praise God. I had to do this when the Lord started talking to me about going on according to Genesis 6:3. First of all, it was a thrill to me when I learned that that's the only age that God Himself ever spoke in the Bible. The 70 or 80 was not. That was the results of the saying of the people. They kept saying, we're going to die in this desert. We're going to die in this desert. And you have to remember, before that crowd right there, people were living a long time. So they kept saying, we're going to die in this desert. We're going to die in this desert. And finally, God couldn't say anything else. His covenant partners kept saying, they believed what they said. They believed it in their hearts and they said it with their mouth and they acted like it. Fundamentals. Fundamentals. That's what they believed, and that's what they said, and that's what they got. But Caleb and Joshua didn't. Hallelujah. Caleb and Joshua's faith was still intact. Caleb was 44 when they went in that desert. And he was 84. And Joshua turned a command over to him. He said, I'm 84 years old and I'm strong as I was 40 years ago. Glory to God. So was Moses at 120. So when the Lord started talking to me about that, in the first place, I didn't much want to do it. I didn't mind living that long. But I really didn't want to commit to it. You know, I want to back out if I want to. But God just kept talking to me about that and just kept talking to me about that. Well, I had to, the certain things that I had to commit to and so forth, and that in order to, I have to do my part. And anyway, I won't spend much time on that. But the whole thing is this inner image has to be changed. And we do not think in words. We think in pictures. Now, if I said dog, you didn't think D-O-G. If you have a dog, you thought of yours. But if I said black, big dog, we're rearranging your image. When God created the animals and all these things, He already had image on the inside of Him. He didn't say, bird, bee. Oh, that's what a bird looks like. I was wondering what that's going to turn out to be. Why, certainly not. That's, you know. Of course, He had it before the foundation of the world. He had it all laid out. He had it all planned. Glory to God. I mean, right down to the every detail for eternity. Isn't He something? Whoa. And He's your Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, see, you and I have that, not to the extent that He does, but we have that same spiritual capacity. We can do that. So, and you do it all the time. It's part of being, it's part of mankind. It's part of being a human being. You're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body, and you have an imagination, and you're supposed to be using it for the kingdom of God instead of just blowing it off on a lot of just mental candy. But when we do this on purpose, now I'm going somewhere with this. When we take the Word of God, take the promises of God and the facts of God, promises and Bible facts, those same promises and Bible facts upon which you build your faith, upon which you build your prayer before you pray it. You don't need to be praying, oh, God, heal me, 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 oh, God, heal me. No, you need to go to the book and get the healing facts. He's already born. Your griefs, your sorrows, your sicknesses, your diseases, your weaknesses, your pain, in His own body. Amen. By His stripes ye were healed. So that's not a promise. That is a Bible fact. That's a rock you can put your divine health on right there. See? Well, but when you're building that should be changing the image on the inside of you from sickness to divine health. We shouldn't be just getting sick and getting healed, getting sick and getting healed, getting sick and getting healed. You ought to live in divine health. Don't get sick in the first place. That's better. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't remember the last time I had a cold. I ain't got time for that. Now there's some other issues that I'm right in the middle of. Glory to God. Some things that are changing. Thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord for it. But this image on the inside is so vitally important.
This week we are learning about the simplicity of faith. And my grandmother Gloria Copeland has shared before that people with the spirit of faith receive the blessing of God. And yeah, they may go through challenges, but they come out supernaturally every time. Now the question is, how do you get those kinds of results? Having faith in God and knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. So today I want you to get your Bible and I want you to join Brother Copeland for this Bible lesson as he lays the basis for understanding who we are in Jesus, the righteousness of God in Him.
We began last night on great hindrances to faith. Of course, Jesus, we've already read the greatest hindrance to faith, which is what Jesus said there in the 25th verse, when He said, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. that your heavenly Father may forgive you your trespasses. You remember Jesus said that. He said that, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Amen. So, but now, and that's the big one. Faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. In fact, that's part of the fundamentals of faith. Faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. And it won't work in an air of unforgiveness. If somebody, and I'll tell you something, let me add another to that. It's part of the same thing, same kind of function. Faith doesn't work in a complaining heart. Just complaining about everything, dear Lord, not again, I don't like this, and I don't like that. Well, change it, quit griping about it, and do something about it. It won't work in an angry heart. Boy, I had to deal with that. I developed that starting out as a young boy. And I won't go into all the details about it, but just the least little thing, miss a belt loop. You know, I'm putting my belt on, miss a belt loop. Ah, dadgummit. Well, there ain't no use cussing just because you missed a belt loop. Oh, Brother Copeland, I didn't cuss. I said, dadgummit. Well, it's because you don't know how to spell damn. It's exactly the same action. Because if you hadn't been saved, you'd have said, damn it, I missed a belt loop. Well, there ain't no use cussing over a belt loop. The devil's process, fear's process, habits that come, that are fear-based and fear-dependent and develop, over a lifetime, is always to curse and call things that be not as though they were. In the faith kingdom, we bless and call things that be not as though they were. Amen. Dang. There's the curse. I'm losing my dang hair. It's coming to pass, Jack. Your hair's going. Well, see my daddy-in-law. Don't blame it on your daddy. You can reverse that. But the thing that I'm telling you, hair or no hair, it is not worth affecting your faith over. Go in there and start and get it. I mean, just have a wonderful time of prayer and worship and then go just blow it all. 5 minutes looking in the mirror. Over your hair. Who cares what it looks like? Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's certainly not worth getting a fuss with your wife over.
Amen.
Or get all mad and just get fussy over your hair. And now you're all upset, so the two of you gripe and carry on all the way to church, and you walk in the front door of the church. Good morning, everybody, you lying hound. What am I talking about? Grow up! This is growing up. This is not being little faith babies anymore. Come on, grow up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, and we're going into something here that all of this is going to be important to the base. Now, last night we talked about a great hindrance is the lack of understanding of the new creation, being a new creature in Christ Jesus. Any man that is in Christ is a new creature. The one translation says, a new species of being. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. You're not a forgiven sinner. No. No, no. Get rid of those sin tags. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. In the first place, that is not humility. It's ignorance of the Bible. You're not an old sinner. You were an old sinner. You got saved by grace, and now you're a new creature. That old man's dead and gone.
Hallelujah.
That old man, I said, is dead and gone. Don't let condemnation, particularly stuff that happened to you before you were born again. Well, yeah, but I didn't. No, you didn't. Oh, yeah, Brother Copeland, I did that. No, you didn't. Yeah, Brother Copeland, I did that. No, you didn't. The person that did that died. I'm just reading along in the New Testament. And the Apostle Paul said, receive us. In other words, receive me. I have wronged no man. I have defrauded no man. Man, I jumped. See, I'm just a little baby. I'm reading. I jumped and threw my Bible in the floor. And I didn't have sense enough not to say it out loud. And I just said it before I thought. I said, I've caught this man in a lie. Whoa. Oh, man, I'm telling you, the Lord spoke up in me. I didn't hear the audible voice of God. I'm telling you, it is louder than that. I heard it inside out. My hair heard it. My nose heard it. I mean, all of me heard. God said, you watch who you call a liar. The man you're talking about died on the road to Damascus. And I said, that's right. That's right. He's a new creature in Christ. That guy that persecuted the church is dead and gone. But see, he had to learn not to let that condemn him. That's the reason he came up with, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He had to learn that. He lived with Stephen in his being. He lived with the idea of these people, because he kept bringing it up to the Lord, you know. And you go back and look at the book of Acts and read through there, and he, you know, he'd bring it up, you know, about what he did. And Jesus never would answer him. He just acted like he didn't even say anything. He just kept on with what he was talking to him about and what he was instructing him to do. Because, see, as far as the Lord was concerned, the man he was talking to, Jesus takes this very seriously. You know, I count my birthday as December the 6th, 1936, but Jesus doesn't. That's when I was born the first time. Amen. As far as he's concerned, my birthday is November the 2nd, 1962. Because that's when I was born. That's that real with him. And that is real with God. It is so real with Jesus. And it needs to develop to the place where it's real with us. Now, tonight, we want to look at the lack of understanding of righteousness. This one, I heard Brother Hagin say this, and I, from what I've learned over the last 51 years, I completely agree. This one holds more people in bondage than anything else, where their faith is concerned and where their Christian life is concerned. That about being the righteousness of God. And even if you know the scripture concerning it, and you believe it because you read it, but what is the image of yourself on the inside? How do you see yourself? I'm getting a little ahead of myself. We want to read the scriptures first. Now then, let's begin with 2 Corinthians chapter 5 once again. Right there where we read about in the 17th verse, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. You remember in the Gospel of John, we were created in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus the Anointed, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, or to know that God was in Christ, in the Anointed One, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing or not holding against them their trespasses, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in the Anointed One's stead, you be reconciled to God. God's already reconciled you to him. Now you reconcile yourself to him. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Let's unscrabble that just a little bit. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The moment you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the moment you became a new creature, you're as righteous as you're ever going to get. Made the righteousness of God. Now people, the religious mind confuses righteousness with holiness. That you have to live holy a long time in order to attain righteousness. That's not right. That's just mistaken. That's not true. You were made the righteousness of God. Think about it like this. Did Jesus ever commit any sin?
No.
No. Did you ever commit any righteousness?
No.
No. Our righteousness is a dirty rag.
That's right.
Amen? No. He was made sin with our sin, and we were made righteous with his righteousness. Amen. See, he accepted us before we ever accepted him. And we're going to see that from the scripture. So, All right. Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 54. Proverbs, Solomon, Song, and Isaiah, chapter 54. Now the 53rd chapter is Jesus on the cross. The 54th chapter, the prophet Isaiah is speaking to the body of Christ, to the resurrected Lord. I want us to begin reading with the 8th verse. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. What was that moment? 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. But with everlasting kindness. The word translated kindness is the Hebrew word hesed. It is a covenant word. It's when you are bound to someone in covenant forever and ever and ever. And God, looking for covenant, bound himself to his covenant people. And hesed is that covenant giving of yourself. and sworn protection, sworn help, sworn, what's mine is yours. And the beautiful part of the new covenant, well, Creflo touched on this, and the beautiful part of the new covenant is between God and the man Jesus.
Amen.
Now that's the reason you and I can't break the new covenant. It's between an eternal almighty God and an immortal Jesus. Amen. Now you can break fellowship with it, but you can't break that covenant. It can't be broken. It's a forever covenant. Hallelujah. And in that covenant is your promise that he is faithful and just. See, the man side of the covenant is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess them.
Amen.
Doesn't have anything about to do with you getting where you don't feel guilty anymore.
Amen.
No, if you'll believe for it, it's why you still feel like a dog, brother. Amen. But you confess that thing. And don't be easy on yourself. Well, you know, Jesus, I have this problem. No, you ain't got a problem. You sinned. Call it by its nasty name. Well, you know, I'm working on it. No. Confess the thing before Jesus. Just get real. Amen. I mean, just get brutally honest with God and brutally honest with yourself. You can't do a decent job in the ministry without it or anything else. Where you just get, I mean, just get honest with yourself. I'm not talking about condemning yourself now. I'm talking about judging yourself. I did this, and this is what it's called. By just its own filthy name. I did it, and I thank you, sir. I believe I receive my forgiveness right now. Praise God, I confess it, and I believe I receive my forgiveness, and now I believe I receive my cleansing from all what? Unrighteousness.
At the beginning of this week, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland taught us in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is now. And God is always now. Keeping our faith active all the time means continually putting God's word in our eyes, in our ears, getting those words down into your heart, and speaking words of faith over and over again till it registers down on the inside. Now today for the broadcast, I want you to join Brother Copeland as he teaches us how to develop a faith that perseveres and brings you out on the other side supernaturally blessed. Watch this.
Let's go over to Romans chapter 3. How many of you are familiar with the phrase, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God"? Well, let me see how many hands are familiar with that verse. That's everybody, particularly if you're Baptist once in your life. You remember that verse very well. But now then, that verse, on one side of that verse, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." How many are familiar with that verse? "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, unto all and upon all them that believe, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified or made righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Now, isn't that just like some of us take the one little piece of a verse that majors on sin, pull it out of the righteousness verses. Amen. Well, that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you sin-minded instead of righteousness-minded. So, now, oh, dear. This is where you get Well, let's just continue to read. I want to read down. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now let's go over to the fifth chapter. Romans chapter 5, first verse. Therefore, being justified or made righteous, exactly the same Greek word, made righteous by faith. How? By faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access. How? By faith into His grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing tribulation worketh patience. Now, the and patience, experience, hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Now, come over with me to the 15th verse. Remember the first one, being made righteous by faith. Not as the offense, or Adam's sin, so also is the free gift. Say it. Free gift. Righteousness is a free gift. You accepted Jesus and He gave you His righteousness. It is a free gift. It is not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of righteousness by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Not as if it's one that sins, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto righteousness. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more. Now, folks, there was enough death to go around. There was plenty of it. Huh? But much more. They which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ the Anointed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't that good? One translation said they shall reign in life, reign over life as king. Hallelujah. Instead of having life just reign over us, sin dominating us and so forth. No. We've been made the righteousness of God, and we are kings and priests. We found that out last night. Hallelujah. We should be reigning with Him. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift has come upon all men under justification or righteousness of life. Righteousness. The righteousness of God. The moment Jesus was raised from the dead, righteousness has come upon all men. Not all men have received it, but it's there. It is there. It's there for the receiving. It's a free gift. You can't earn it. Develop a righteousness consciousness. To do that, you have to eradicate a sin consciousness. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, please. We are. You're born again? Then you're right with God. Now, there may be some things in your life that need to be changed, but you're right with God. Amen. Amen. I said you're right with God. Amen. Oh, God, I love it. Chapter 10. Oh, no, wait, before we read that, let's look at the very first chapter because I want you to make a note of something. In the first chapter, God, who at sundry time in different manner spoken time past the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. Listen to this. When he had by himself purged our sins. You see that? Jesus purged our sins. All right. For the law, chapter 10, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered because the worshipers once purged. Now see, he purged our sins by himself. But when you accepted him, your sins were purged. Everything in your past was wiped out right there. Just wiped clear right there. Hallelujah. It's very important that you exercise faith in believing that. Very important. Because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin or should have no more sin consciousness. Your consciousness should not, you shouldn't have this habitual, traditional failure consciousness. Well, you know, I mean, after all, you know, our family is never wealthy, and none of our family, you know, we're just working folks, and that's good, you know, we're good people, and all that, but you know, you couldn't expect. Well, why, you know, we're not rich folks, and probably never will be. We never will be. Well, you're right. If you are, it'll be somebody besides you. Where did that consciousness come from? Well, that idea is handed down and handed down and handed down and handed down. It's bigger in Europe than it is in the United States. In fact, a lot of Europeans get mad at us because, you know, we don't stay put. If your daddy was this, but then you're supposed to be, and your son after you is supposed to be, and your son after you, and you didn't get above this station in life, and you ought not even think about getting any above that yourself. Now, don't start being, you know, smart aleck here. You ain't never had nothing. You ain't never going to have nothing. Forget it. Don't be getting your hope up over that. Hey, why not? Hope, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Without hope, faith hadn't got anything to do. Amen. I mean, don't ever tell a child, baby, don't get your hope up now. You might not get this. No, jack that hope up high as you can get it. Because when you start building hope, you're building faith at the same time. You start building up hope in that child, their faith starts coming up on the line. Amen.
Amen.
Instead of dashing that hope, then the faith crashes. Amen. Now, and let me, well, I'm trying to get off and all that. But this is what we're talking about here. When we're talking about a sin consciousness, a failure consciousness. Well, you know, you win a few and you lose a few. Really? I don't go out to lose a few. It may turn out that way, but I don't go out with that on my mind. I intend on winning every time. Glory to God. Amen. I don't have a losing consciousness about me. Not gonna lose. I'm a bad loser. I mean, man, you know, I just lose? What is that? Oh, lose? A man fall in the floor and cry. I'm not going to lose. Bless God. I found out in the faith game, we don't play 9-inning games. We don't play 4 quarters. We play till we win. Sin consciousness identifies with Adam. A righteousness consciousness identifies with Jesus, the resurrected Lord. At the tomb of Lazarus, the righteousness of God said, roll away the stone. Sin consciousness said, oh Lord, he stinks. Can you see it? I mean, there's a glaring difference. But in only seconds, the voice of righteousness raised Lazarus from the dead. And he didn't stink anymore. Glory to God! Righteousness had spoken. The righteousness of God had spoken. And you put the word of God in your heart. You put the word of God in your mouth. And righteousness can speak on the level of Jesus, on the same kind of authority. And you speak to that, you speak to that death thing. You speak to the sickness. You speak to the disease. Righteousness of God. You just tell the devil, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you don't come in my baby's bedroom. You don't come in here with your terror. No, this is a righteousness house. This is a righteousness of God household. Glory to God. No, no, no. Terror, don't come here. Terror, don't come here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Well, then stand with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And say it. Thank you, Jesus. I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I walk in holiness. I'm growing in holiness. I'm learning. I'm endeavoring to walk and live by faith at all times. I'm a believer. I am not a doubter. I'm the righteousness of God. Jesus purged my sins. And I received him. My sins have been purged. He is my Lord. He is my righteousness. He is my King. He is everything in my life. I love him with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind and all my strength. He loves me with all of his heart, all of his soul, all of his mind and all of his strength. Jesus, you and I are a team. We are a righteous team. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. I am that righteous person. My prayers make great power available. I'm a prayer. I'm an intercessor. I'm heard on high.
I'm heard on high.
Because of the name of Jesus.
Because of the word of God.
Because of the blood of the Lamb.
I'm heard on high.
Because I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Now give Him praise and give Him thanks for it. Hallelujah!
Hey, Stephen, I'm going to need you to work late tonight.
Feeling overwhelmed and too busy to get everything done? Sometimes we need a reset button, and a new year can be just that. A blank canvas for a fresh start. Plan your year and prepare for all God wants to do with the 2019 Kenneth Copeland Ministries calendar. Follow the daily reading plan that takes you through the Bible in a year. Be encouraged each month by special quotes from Kenneth and Gloria. You can see what KCM meetings to attend, watch live, and pray over. Use it as a tool to track your faith victories throughout the year. Keep growing spiritually, and a year from now, look back and see the goodness of God in your life.
Request your free 2019 KCM calendar at kcm.org/tvspecial. Shipping charges may apply. Offer good for 60 days. For more information, go to kcm.org.
My name is James Lavender. I pastor our church in Herndon, Virginia, called Word of Grace Christian Church. 2008, I really started not feeling well. And by 2009, it came to a culmination, and I was in the doctor's office, and he said, hey, James, you have MS. And, I was in the hospital. I was using a walker. I couldn't feel anything from my waist down. But at least it's like the Lord had a roadmap for me. So every morning when I woke up, you know, even though I wasn't feeling well, I could turn the TV on, and back to back, there would be Creflo Dollar and then Kenneth Copeland. And then I could wait a little while, and then Bill Winston would come on. It's just constantly inundating myself with those teachings. So then I bought an iPod, and I downloaded everything that those three taught, and I constantly listened to it. I remember being at work one day, this was after I'd gotten out of the hospital, and I was, you know, moving from one part of the building to the next, and just the pain hit. The pain was so, so multiple sclerosis kind of attacks your central nervous system. Well, it's your immune system attacking your central nervous system. And the pain of my nerve endings, which is, everything was on fire. And I was there almost in tears. I say almost because I'm a man, men don't cry. I was almost in tears, and one of the ladies walking down, she goes, are you all right? I'm going, I'm okay. But I was just reciting scriptures until it passed. So no matter what happened, it's just that foundation. And I have to attribute it to the Holy Spirit on the inside of me pushing me in that direction, because your common sense, your quote-unquote common sense would tell you, okay, read this or read that, read anything other than the Bible. But as far as I was concerned, every time the devil brought a thought to me, I said, I'm going to go to the Bible and read a healing scripture, which is why, you know, that's how I first started to memorize scriptures. I have not battled a symptom, I would say, since 2009. And I've done everything wrong. They say consistently take medicine, which I went a year without it when my mom died. I just didn't care. They say don't have a stressful job. I had an extraordinarily stressful. I've done everything wrong, but it is what I do right is I stay in the Word, and I'm staying in constant communion with my Father, which I call him Dad. I mean, it's kind of a it's a father-son relationship. I mean, we're constantly talking. And I think that is what, he's put so much on the inside of us. And the more we recognize that, then the more of what's on the inside of us affects what's on the outside of us. It is so cool how you watch Jesus and his internal reality always becomes his external reality. He slept through a storm because he had peace on the inside of him. And when they woke him up, he released what was on the inside of him, and that affected what was around him. So it is that constant communion. The neurologist that I see has never pronounced me and said, you know, hey, you're MS free. But what he did tell me is, you know, there's no need for you to come back. You know, so if you need to go see a doctor, but pray first, number one, and never take anything they give you without praying over it first. So I know that if a problem comes, the answer is already made available. And so the only thing I have to do is just recognize it. And to me, that is, it reduces a lot of stress. And I think that's the lifestyle Christians should have. It's just knowing, because, hey, Jesus never said problems won't come. He never said trials and tribulations won't. They are going to come. That's not a faith confession. That is just a reality. But what is a bigger reality is that provision has already been made. And that's one of the prayers I pray with my wife every morning before she goes to work. Was just thanking him for his provision for everything we're going to see for the day, and then helping us see that provision.
What does that partnership with KCM mean to you?
The partner with KCM, honestly, I'll put it this way. It is more of a partnership with Brother Kenneth and Sister Gloria. And I truly do hear his voice, Brother Kenneth's voice a lot. Like sometimes if I'm going through something, I'll hear his voice, have faith in God, okay? I'll hear his voice. Grab yourself by the ear, you know, and listen to the word. To me, they are just visible representations of the Lord here on the earth for us to guide us into the truth of the word. I don't know a better way to say that. Of course, looking to them as they point to Christ is always, yeah. As I tell, you know, the congregation, yes, if you look at me, but look at me as I point to Christ. So that's how I look at him, as he points to Christ.
In this testimony that you just saw, did you notice that James was healed of what the world considers incurable? Now, how did that happen? He simply immersed himself in the Word of God. He began to see himself healed. He began to see himself whole, and he had to see that through the eyes of faith, forgetting what it felt like and looked like. He just kept his attention on the power and on the promises of God until healing came to pass in his body. What an amazing, wonderful miracle this is. But the greatest miracle of all occurs any time that anybody makes Jesus the Lord of their life, because you are literally raised from death to life when you make Jesus your Lord. And I know many people watching this right now, you're born again, you've experienced this miracle, but there may be some that are watching right now and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. If that's you, I want you to do it right now. I want you to just simply pray this prayer out loud with me. Just say, Father in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe in my heart that Jesus lived for me, died for me, and rose again for me. Now say this, Jesus, I confess with my mouth, you are my Lord. I receive your forgiveness. Wipe away my past. Make me new. Make me clean. I am a new creation in you. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, if you believed it in your heart and you said it with your mouth, the Bible says you are saved. You are born again. And today is the first day of the rest of your life. And we want you to know how thrilled we are about it. Jesus said all the angels in heaven rejoice. And we want you to know everybody here at KCM is thrilled to welcome you to the family. We've got something we want to give to you. It's called our Salvation Package. It's a small book called He Did It All For You, written by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And along with this book is two small brochures that are going to help you begin to find out how to read, how to study your Bible. Again, these things are free. We want to give them to you as a gift. If you prayed this prayer with me today and today you're born again, visit us online at kcm.org and request your free salvation package. We'll get it out to you. Again, it's free. We want you to have it and we want you to know we love you.
My name's Fred Roy. I'm from Loudoun, New Hampshire, and this is my son, Zachariah James Roy. I trusted him because he was a Christian. I'm like, you know, hey, I did the best I can. Here's your tools, you know, take on life.
I was actually 19 years old the first time I ever tried heroin.
And that heroin is just such a selfish drug.
It destroys you. It eats every bit of goodness out of your life. I did things that I can't believe I've ever done.
I got a phone call that he was doing very bad. They had him in the emergency room, and they were squeezing the air bag for oxygen. They estimate that he was flatlined for at least a half an hour. They put him in a self-induced coma to protect his body and brain. If he would survive, he'd probably be a vegetable, definitely wheelchair bound, maybe can talk one day, maybe hand movement, you know. And through those few days, the next few days, you know, there was progress. You know, his eyes could move, he could move his head. He told my wife, his mother, that, you know, he loved her. You know, he spoke. And then a couple of days went by and the talking stopped. Nothing really improved. You know, the doctors came to us and said his intestines stopped working. His stomach was pumping
backwards,
the food in his belly backwards, so he would throw up. Told us that they needed to do an emergency surgery, removing his intestines, putting him on the bag, putting a feed tube in him. And I had to make a decision. And I told my wife, I go, I'm okay with being the bad guy here. I go, I don't want you to think that you have anything part of this decision to putting your son to death. I go, but I will not have my son be a vegetable. One day, he wasn't talking, but he would look at me, and I was looking for an answer. You know, I'm like, Zach, I'll be your bad guy. I'll make your decision. I'm like, look at this hand, look at this hand. You know, heaven or surgery, what do you want? Help me make this decision. And he looked at me, and he goes, is there any other choice? And I'm like, what? I'm like, Zach, I need to send you someplace. Are we going to go to surgery, or are we going to go to heaven? It took him a few times. And again, the nurses were in the room, and it's logged in their report. And he goes, I want to be a soldier for the Lord and go to heaven. So I refused the surgery. I signed papership, signed the paper saying, you know, coding him, pretty much starving him to death. Again, taking guidance and wisdom from friends, you know, from Kenneth Copeland. A lot of times I would just, Michael Flowers, you know, I would call Michael and he knew the situation. And I'm like, Mike, it's Fred. I go, can't talk. And he just started preaching to me. And because I couldn't talk, you know.
And so I would just agree with him in prayer that that they were going to come through this as a family one way or another. I asked Fred, what are you believing for? What is it? How can I pray for you? How can I stand in faith with you? And he said, I just know my son, and he would not want to live like this. And so we have decided to let him go. And I said, well, Fred, we serve a mighty God, and we serve a healing God. And you have sowed so much seed over the years with Kenneth Copeland Ministries, with your pastor, connected in your church and with this ministry. You have tither's rights. You and your family will live.
We got a letter from the state saying that me and my wife, we were being taken to court because we were unfit guardians. You know, the system was against us, the legal system. This judge heard from God. She really did. And she's like, Mr. Roy, will you allow your son to be mouth-fed? And I'm like, Judge, you don't understand. His intestines isn't working. His stomach can't receive food. He gets sick. And she goes, Mr. Roy, she said it again, Mr. Roy, will you allow your son to be mouth-fed? And I'm like, if it means me keeping guardianship of my son, keeping him out of the state's hands, I will do what I have to do. And she says, fine. And later that evening, we were granted custody of Zach. The next night, his hands start moving. Days later, you know, he's moving around. His legs are moving. He stands up. He's walking with help constantly, little baby steps. And now they're snowballing and getting bigger. But it was like a 7-week period from death, coming in this building on a stretcher with an airbag on you being pumped, to walking out the exit door.
I can still remember the first day walking out of there, I had a smile on my face.
Monday morning, he's at work, you know, hard hat on. And every morning he got up and we went to work. And he progressed, he did better.
I can't believe the guy who I was. I'm very grateful today because I am clean now, and I'm very grateful to say that heroin doesn't have a grasp on me anymore.
I found my way of life now, and making sure I don't put him through and my mother through what I put them through and everyone I care about through.
Don't you just love a good victory story where Jesus saves and heals and delivers? I love these stories. Now, Zach, that you just saw, he's got a brand new beginning. And you need to know that any trouble that sets itself against the Word of God is subject to change. And right now, I want to say a special thank you to all of our partners who are watching this, because you are helping get this word out through the broadcast, through the magazine, through the internet, all these different platforms. You're a part of preaching this gospel, and it is truly changing lives, just like this one, all over the world. Now, today is offering day on the broadcast, and I'm going to read this to you once again from the book of Galatians, chapter 6. It says in verse 6, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Partners, you have been a part of preaching this gospel all over the world. You've heard the word and you've responded to the word. And we want you to know how thankful we are. We are thankful to God for you, and He has proven His faithfulness, and He's done it through you. Now, many people watching right now, you may not be yet a partner with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And I would ask you, go before the Lord. Find out if you've got an assignment to play in the preaching of the word of faith alongside Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in this ministry. And just say to the Lord, "Father, is there something you'd have me do? I've heard the word here. How would you have me respond?" And then just listen. And if He tells you to sow, then you do it, and we welcome it, we receive it. And in Jesus' name, we call you blessed. We call you increased. And when you partner with this ministry, then you have somebody praying for you, declaring the word of God over you every single day of the world. That's the way my grandfather says it all the time, because he's constantly praying for you, his partners. Father, we thank you for these partners. We receive the giving of the people. Jesus, we hold it before you, and we say, do all that is in your heart with it, and we call them blessed in Jesus' name. Thanks so much for watching the broadcast today. To watch any of these broadcasts again, all you have to do is go to kcm.org or visit us at KCM's Roku channel. Next week is 2019, and you don't want to miss this broadcast, because Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a week of victory in the Word of God. Thanks for watching today. We'll see you again next time. Until then, remember, God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for your faithful support. Now you can text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. Join us December 31st to ring in the new year at Eagle Mountain International Church in Newark, Texas, USA. April 4th through 6th, Kenneth Copeland welcomes you to the 2019 Branson Victory Campaign in Branson, Missouri, USA. June 13th through 15th, join Kenneth Copeland Ministries at the Sacramento Victory Campaign in Sacramento, California, USA. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.